Drew Friedman and Stephen Kroninger, who are both illustrators and pop culture historians, have been discussing for years the work of caricaturists who were once hugely popular and they feel are great, but for one reason or another have been largely forgotten. And they have put together 12 legendary caricaturists you've probably never heard of, which they will present at the Society of Illustrators this Wednesday. That's 2 days from now. It's my great pleasure to welcome them back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Lenny.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Now, Drew, are they largely forgotten caricaturists who influenced you?
You know, I would say 5 years ago, I hadn't heard of most of these caricaturists we're going to be profiling. I love Al Hirschfeld like Stephen does, and David Levine and Ed Sorrell and Bob Grossman, those guys. But the caricatures we're going to be profiling are guys who were big in their day, some of them anyway, but have been largely forgotten either through bad timing or bad luck or worse.
Stephen, in your case, wasn't your work originally influenced by German artists from the early 20th century?
Yeah, between the wars, George Grosz, John Hartfield, Hannah Hoch.
So are caricaturists different depending on which country they come from? Can you easily spot a French caricaturist or a German or a Mexican or somebody who's from this country?
You could usually, you know, I think all the guys we're profiling are American. Some of them might have been born in other countries. But we're doing profiling American guys who basically caricatured American celebrities. But then there's a guy like Covarrubias, Miguel Covarrubias.
Mm. That's why I mentioned Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, you know, the most beloved Mexican caricaturist and so influential that he influenced Hirschfeld and so many others.
Aren't we seeing fewer political caricatures these days?
Well, these are mostly celebrity caricatures. But I wanted to say that that I've chosen is Swedish, Einar Nerman, and Alex Gard, I think, he's Russian. He grew up in Russia. He was in the Russian Navy. I think.
Well, do most of these artists come out of cartooning or out of fine art?
I think a lot of them started as newspaper cartoonists. Some of the guys I'm profiling, like Sam Berman and George Wachstetter, started out as newspaper cartoonists, and that kind of led to caricature work for the newspapers, and then it built up from there, where that's what they became known for.
Didn't almost every newspaper, other than the New York Times, and including the New York Times, in fact, once have an in-house department of illustrators?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's happened? Aren't most publications now just using syndicated content?
Back in the day, you know, New York had 11 newspapers, right. And these guys had so much, there was so much work for them, you know, and then by the late 60s, it was down to 3 newspapers, so a lot. But, you know, yeah, they had in-house staff of cartoonists that would usually work up at the newspaper, and then they would give them whatever assignment, be it a cartoon, a caricature, even a map.
Mm-hmm. So. And sometimes political cartoons as well, but often you would see in the theater section or the entertainment section, you'd see caricatures rather than photographs.
Absolutely. In Nerman's case, when he was working in London at the Tatler and he was drawing West End theater caricatures, the editor said, "What need do I have for a theater critic when you're drawing Say It All?"
Now, well, that was a great compliment. Of course,
yes.
It's a lot easier when you're drawing someone like Carol Channing, who's I guess almost anyone would be able to capture. But what about Robert De Niro? Wouldn't he be rather difficult?
Well, some are hard to. I mean, you have a Jay Leno in a character. Just okay, what do I do with Jay Leno?
Big chin, of course.
I think I'll extend the chin.
Right,
it's like a little too easy. But some people are certainly more more. You know, for me anyway, I've drawn Robert De Niro a few times, and aside from the mole on his face, there's really not much you know to sink your teeth into with that one. But, yeah, it can be tricky.
So it's easier when your subject has big or distinctive features like President Obama's ears.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, exaggeration for the sake of exaggeration, which doesn't really appeal to me too much. I like the more nuanced the caricaturists, like Mort Drucker, Jack Davis, and Hirschfeld, and the guys we're going to be profiling for the most part.
What outlets are there for caricaturists these days? Stephen, you used to get Time magazine covers. I haven't seen that recently.
They don't do much illustration on the cover of Time anymore.
Or most magazines. Like Entertainment Weekly used to be like, you know, every week they'd practically call Stephen and I for assignments. And now I haven't worked for them for years. It's just a different world.
I haven't either.
The New Yorker does do caricatures, but they have a house style.
Yeah, well, they have some great guys working and women doing caricatures for them. And Anita Kunz does covers for the New Yorker, and she's terrific.
Barry Blitt.
And Barry Blitt is he's done so many covers, and he's one of the great guys now. And Victor Juhas, I think, is terrific, and Philip Burke and Steve Brodner, there's terrific people still at work.
How do you?
We're not talking about any of them.
No.
they're welcome to come to the talk.
Yeah. Well, they're working today.
Because they're going to learn something.
Are any of the artists you're talking about still alive?
No. All 12 are deceased. And like I said, a couple of years ago, I hadn't heard of most of them. And then Steve Heller, who, you know, the designer, and he's written a book on caricature, The Savage Mirror, excellent book, told us, he wrote about our show, our upcoming talk, and mentioned that he hadn't heard of six of the people we're profiling.
So that must have made you feel proud.
Well, you know, we knew we were onto something because the people we're profiling were amazing in their day and have just been completely forgotten for the most part.
I think the least known is Louis Hirschman, who what we're going to be showing on Wednesday night is work that hasn't been seen by the public in probably 80 years. And if I can I take a moment to describe one of his pieces?
Oh, sure.
It's a piece he did on Adolf Hitler in 1937. And what he did was he made a gutter, these bricks, and then he threw cigarette butts in it and bottle caps and bits of paper. And then to make Hitler's head is a bright orange hot water bottle. And over his left eye is a black leather glove, which of course represents the SS and the Gestapo. His nose is a paintbrush, which of course alludes to Hitler's failed career as an artist, but his career as a paper hanger. But the best part of it is that for the brown shirt, this is like a bust of Hitler in a gutter. The brown shirt, he took a
manure?
No, he took a dustpan. Mm-hmm. And he scooped up some hay, and in the hay is horse manure. So 70 or so years before Chris Ophelia was using elephant dung, Lou Hirschman was using horse manure.
And Rudy Giuliani, young Rudy Giuliani, was already complaining about it.
But he might have liked Hirschman's piece.
Hirschman was like the Gallagher of caricaturists.
So he created odd objects from things that he found?
Basically, found like...
These are like...
Food, clothing, these are objects.
Like collages, but using real objects.
Harpo's hair is a bunch of tomatoes. Right. His mouth is a large sausage. This is Harpo.
It's amazing stuff, and I hadn't heard of it.
He did Fidel Castro. He did he did Albert Einstein.
Yeah. Well, Albert Einstein is great because it's just two pieces. Well, there's a body, which is more pieces, but the head is just a mop, and then on top of the mop is like a hairbrush with the bristles pointing out, and it's just the perfect Albert Einstein. Like, when you look at it, there's no doubt who it is.
He worked out of Philadelphia.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
He worked out of Philadelphia, and I hadn't heard of him up until a month ago. Stephen had blogged him about 7 years ago, but just had three little black and white images that appeared in Look magazine in the late 30s.
My guests are Drew Friedman and Stephen Kroninger. They are going to be presenting 12 legendary caricaturists you've probably never heard of at the Society of Illustrators on Wednesday. You've selected six celebrity caricaturists each.
Right.
Was there any overlap when you first started talking about it?
No.
I think Stephen's doing some of the earlier guys who were working actually 100 years ago at the turn of the century. And my choices are a little later.
But they all predate Hirschfeld.
No, they were his contemporaries, I would say, especially a guy like George Wachstetter, who also did theatrical drawings for the New York Times and the Herald Tribune and all the major newspapers. But he wound up, he went blind when he was in his 50s, where Hirschfeld like continued working till he was 100, just 5 months short of 100. So he had bad luck in that respect.
But the theater caricatures that I'm doing do predate Hirschfeld. Hirschfeld started at the Times doing theatrical caricatures in 1927. William Arbuck Levy was at the Sunday World in 1925. His editor was Alexander Woolcott. Mm. And Nerman, who was at the Tatler, began in 1921. And Al Free goes all the way back to 1906 with his first theatrical caricatures, which was for the St. Louis Dispatch and then later the New York World.
Do we see their influence today?
I think you see it in me and my work, yeah.
Well, you've used a lot of collage, but in a different way than Hirschman used collage.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, the Matisse thing about drawing with scissors. So I draw with my scissors, and that's So there's a lot of influence from people who draw a lot of these caricatures. I noticed it a lot when we were going through it. When I was putting together, we were putting together the Photoshop. I was like, wait a minute. Every single person here has had an influence on my work.
There are some guys I'm showing that I knew their work, but I didn't know their name. Like Sam Berman did the caricatures at the beginning of Nothing Sacred, that Hollywood classic written by Ben Hecht. Mm-hmm. He did all the sculpted caricatures of Carol Lombard and Frederick March and the other cast members. And then he also did possibly the most famous caricature ever, in my opinion, the Jackie Gleason face for the Honeymoon is Opening. But he got no credit on the show or any caricature books. We'll never mention that, or any books about the Honeymooners.
And then he inexplicably went into map making and faded into obscurity.
Basically, yeah, he was successful as a map maker. He ran a studio for map making. But this was in the mid-50s. He just switched gears, moved to Spain, and then just became completely forgotten.
One of the artists you are going to talk about is David Levine, whose work is still seen, even though he has been dead for quite a few years. The New York Review of Books uses some of his classic drawings.
Well, Levine is not one of our choices for the forgotten guys. He's certainly not forgotten. He's pretty legendary to this day. His stuff is amazing to, like Hirschfeld. It's like, you can't escape it. It's beautiful.
Ed Sorel is another one.
Yeah, Sorel and
love Ed Sorel.
Bob Grossman. Mm-hmm. And,
they're all great.
And Gerald Scarfe. There are guys who, we wouldn't include because they are, still their work is still shown.
Scarfe was on your original list. And Miguel Covarrubias was on my original list, and we both decided they were too famous.
Yeah, we really cut down the list. There were a lot of other guys we could have chosen.
But you say, Drew, that some artists like John Johns, Alan Jedla, and Lou Hirschman weren't even well-known in their own times.
Well, Jedla was well-known, but briefly. And he did poster for the Marx Brothers, for The Big Store, and for W.C. Fields' film, Never Give a Sucker an Even Break. Then he became...
Would I know those drawings from the famous poster?
Interestingly, Hirschfeld did the other poster designs for The Big Store, and Jedla did one, Alan Jedla, whose real name was Jack... it's a long Jewish name, which I forget right now, but I'll be talking about him. But then he became Esquire's number one caricaturist. He was in every issue of Esquire from 46 to 48. And then, like Wachstetter, he also he developed cataracts and he slowly went blind.
In the case of John Johns, who's I never heard of before, he never left Pittsburgh.
Right. He was a big fish in a small pond. He only worked for the Pittsburgh Post, and he did a weekly cover for their TV supplement every Sunday for 10 years. So if you didn't live in Pittsburgh, you would have no awareness of his work.
The two artists that you talked about were Al Frew, Stephen.
Al and, Free.
Free, is
but,
it?
But I've been pronouncing it Frew until just recently.
Well, it's F-R-U-E-H.
I know. But it's Al Free, actually.
And he did a lot of drawings for The New Yorker?
He did. Well,
would I associate, even if I don't know his name?
Well, he did. He worked for The New Yorker in the very first issue. Mm-hmm. If you opened up the very first issue, he had the very first cartoon. Mm-hmm.
And he did the second cover of the magazine.
And he did the second cover. And he worked for The New Yorker. He did theater pieces until 1963.
Mm.
Wow.
But it's the work that he did before The New Yorker that actually I'm going to be highlighting.
And then there's Jacques Kaperlik, who used three-dimensional shadow boxes to create his work.
Yeah, his work is amazing.
Yeah.
He would cut the figures out of balsa wood, and he would make the clothes, and he would make all the little accoutrements that would go in, and he would do scenes from... The great thing about him is that he would do black and white films in beautiful color. So you'd see the Marx Brothers in Go West, which is a terrible film, but the film is worthwhile just because of this piece by Kaperlik.
The film has a good opening, though, and then it ends. But he did... He did. I don't know how many MGM film posters he actually created.
Maybe. Not posters. No, he did these inserts for magazines for exhibitors, and he worked for 20th Century Fox and Paramount. But yeah, MGM was the main magazine that he worked for. But these were just these incredible pieces that only exhibitors would see in magazines.
Why did no women?
Because there weren't any, right?
There was one.
There are women who do political cartoons.
Yeah, there was
we're not doing political, though.
I understand. But, I mean, in the end, some of the craftsmanship is similar.
There was a woman who was featured in the recent book, Infinite Jest. It was also a show of caricature work. I don't remember her name right now. I don't think she was that terrific. But there were some women. there are more women today who do caricature work,
right, right.
Like Anita Kunz and Glynis Sweeney, and there's a bunch of them, and they're great.
A few of these, some of the more famous ones, like Ed Sorrell, Bob Grossman, Mort Drucker, didn't do this because that they saw it as their life's goal, but because they had to make a living.
I think they were just born to do it. That's how, you know, I think they were touched by a higher force, like especially a guy like David Levine and Al Hirschfeld. I don't see what else. I always say, I'm not fit to do anything else aside from what I do. And that's how I feel about them. Robert Crumb, too. Just touched by a higher force.
Well, in Hirschman's case, he wanted to be he began as a filmmaker. He actually did a film called The Story of a Nobody, or A Story of Nobody. Wow. Which the Museum of Modern Art had, but it deteriorated.
Can we show that on Wednesday?
We can't because it no longer exists. And Nerman, his first love was music and dance, and somehow he ended up doing caricatures.
And you do you think that there's going to be a book out of this?
I think it's a great idea for a book, Forgotten
People
Caricatures.
People have suggested it.
So we'll see what happens. You know, we're hoping we're going to be showing over 300 images on Wednesday. Many of them have not been seen, like Stephen said, for over 80 years.
And how did you get them?
Well, in Hirschman's case, we were able to a friend of Drew's, John Wendler, was able to get in contact with his son. And his son, at first, was reluctant to give us anything. And then in the end, he gave us like over 20 different caricatures that his father did.
For ticket information about this event on Wednesday, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. It's 12 legendary caricaturists you've probably never heard of. My great thanks to Drew Friedman and Stephen Kroeninger for having been here to talk about it. Am I going to see shows of either of your work anytime soon?
Well, we've both had shows. I had my Jewish comedian show last year at the Society, and Stephen's had a show at MoMA. So,
and you're welcome to come by my studio anytime.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.